Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Truma. Are you passionate about changing the Jewish world one classroom at a time? Or do you know someone else who is? Learn more about Pardes's vibrant, innovative, and highly selective Jewish day school teacher training program at www.pardes.org.il. The program includes a full tuition scholarship and a stipend, training excellent day school teachers since 2000. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Meisel discusses a drasha by the Tzfat Emet on Parsha Truma. Grand Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, who lived from 1847 to 1905 and was also known as Tzfat Emet, was born in Warsaw, Poland. He wrote Talmudic works and Maharal-style Torah commentaries that are known within and outside the Hasidic streams. He served as the Rebbe of the Gerer Hasidim from 1870 to 1905. Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels is a faculty member at Pardes. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha is Parsha Truma, where Bnei Israel, the Israelites, donate Torem in order to build the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the desert. This week we'll look at a commentary in the Parsha by the Tzfat Emet, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter of Ger, the Ger Rebbe. He says, B'midrash Tanhuma, Lekachtov, Natati Lechem, Torati Al Tazovu. I have given you a good teaching, a good lesson. Lekachtov, Natati Lechem. Mashal Shnei Socharim, Leze Matkasa Veleze Pilpalin. The Midrash continues, playing on this word lekach, which can mean a lesson, but also has this meaning of a purchasing, something that one has acquired. It's like two merchants, two different kind of products. One has a kind of silk clothing, and the other is selling peppers. Hechlifu masha beyadze, ino beyadze. When they do a trade, they do a bargain. The one sells the silk for the peppers. Then they trade hands, right? The one who had the peppers doesn't have the peppers anymore. And the one who has had the silk doesn't have the silk anymore. Uvatamid chacham zeshuna sedazraim vzeh sedo moed hashenu zeleze biyad kol echad shnei starim v'chule. But it's different with scholars of Torah. One is learning Seder Zeraim. The other one is learning Seder Moed, the Seder on the holidays. They teach each other what they've learned. And each one now has both of the material. Normally, financially in our lives, the Midrash points out, it's a win-lose game. It's a zero-sum game. You sell something, you acquire something else. You acquire something, you have to give up something else. But here in the realm of Torah, it's not that way. In fact, when you give, it simply spreads the wealth and you don't lose anything at all. And when you receive, it doesn't take from anybody else. There's similarly a famous metaphor and image in the Kabbalah, the image of a candle and a flame. So too Rabbi Yitzhak Sagi Nohor teaches, when we light the candle of Torah, the candle of spirituality, the candle of divine presence, from one to the other, it lights the next candle and doesn't take anything away from the previous candle. The light, the oil is spread with no loss to anybody. And then the Tzfat Emet continues. Ha'inyan hu ki yesh lechol ish Yisrael chelek miyuchad b'Torah. V'Torah mechaberet nafshot b'nei Yisrael. So he says this interesting line which combines two elements. He says, the issue is that there is for every Jew, every one of Israel, a special individual portion of the Torah. And the Torah joins together the souls of Israel. So on the one hand, each of us has a particularity, an individuality. We have our own special portion of Torah. And in some Hasidic drashot, they understand this, in Mor V'Shemesh, for instance, as a special individual aspect of Torah that nobody else can actually understand. We can communicate it in certain ways, but in some ultimate way, it's ultimately individual. It's ineffable. It can't be communicated. And indeed, the Mor V'Shemesh says that this is the real meaning of Sod, of Kabbalah. We talk about Pardes, Pshat Rem is Drash and Sod, Sod being the fourth level, the mysterious level of interpreting Torah. He says people think Sod is Kabbalah, it's what's written in the books of Kabbalah, but that's nonsense, because it's just a bunch of books. You can pick it up, you can read it, you can understand it. Perhaps it's difficult to understand in certain ways, but so is Talmud. What's genuinely Sod, what's genuinely mysterious, is the private, individual, experiential meaning each one gets from their own learning of Torah that can never be fully communicated to another. So on the one hand, there is this individuality, there is this particularity. But on the other hand, Torah is that which joins together the souls of Israel. It's that which brings us together, which makes us unified, which makes us feel one. And more than that, not just in a sort of general sense, but actually creates that sense of connection. And indeed, I looked at this drash, I could not help but think about, for those of us who have been there, the Beit Midrash and the Pardes Beit Midrash. We each come there with our own particular place, our own particular history, our own particular thoughts and our experience, and our own particular insights. And it remains that way. We don't become one blob. We maintain our particularity and our individuality, changing as is appropriate and right for us. And at the same time, without sacrificing that individuality anywhere, without sacrificing, as the Sfatimet calls it, that chelek miyuchad b'Torah, at the same time, the Torah is able to join together us all. Over Torah, we are able to meet, and not only meet, but deeply connect, to feel in some sense unified, to feel one, to feel that our souls have been joined in this deep exploration. And this, the Sfatimet goes on to explain, Kamo shekatu tmima mishivat nafesh. As it says of the Torah, of wisdom, it is pure, it is simple. It restores the soul. It gives rest to the soul. That is, there's this aspect of Torah, even in that which seems like, let's say, the conflict of the Beit Midrash, the Shakla Vitaria, the back and forth, there is that which is actually restful, which is perfecting, which is unifying. And we've all experienced that. There's something deeply satisfying and connecting about the process of studying Torah. V'na'asin achdut echat b'koch ha-Torah kamo shekatuv, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. And there is created a unity through the power of Torah, as it is written, the inheritance of the community of Jacob. So while there is an individual aspect where we all have an individual relationship with the Torah, at the same time it is Kilat Yaakov, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. It is the inheritance of the community of Jacob. There is something about it which is unifying, there is something about it which is a communal identity and a communal ownership which we share together. And then umikablin zemize hadat miyuchad lekol echad. And in this process, what is magical and different from our normal economic model of existence is that each one receives from the other their special insight. Through this process of learning together, through this process of exploring and discovering, first of all, our own individual insight, we are then able to share that individual insight with others. And we are all enriched from that diversity of voices, from that plurality, from the disagreement. We receive a much, much wider spectrum of Torah. We start to see many more of the 70 faces than were available to us before. Uketiv, Hashem oz le'amo yiten, uvazei yivarech atamo bashalom, shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. It is interesting how he continues that God gives strength to his people, and in this he blesses his people with peace. And indeed, the name of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the name of the Divine One, is peace. That is, it is through this individuality, through discovering what is true for ourselves and our chelek miyuchad b'Torah, our own special portion in Torah, and then sharing that with others in an open way so that each one can receive the wisdom of the other, that peace is created. Peace is not created by everybody being silent. Peace is not created by everyone agreeing with the other and simply speaking with one voice. Peace is not created by losing in any way our individuality and particularity, but instead is precisely created through this process of opening to our particularity and then sharing that with the other. And in doing this, we receive peace, which is not only the felt experience of peace, not only experience of understanding, because we genuinely understand the other and where they are coming from, even in their difference, It's wonderful, I think, this beautiful distraction that shalom here, peace, is not the erasure of differences, not everybody doing the same thing. Peace is found when each one can listen to the insights of the other and respect the place where they are coming from. And in that place, the divine itself is found. As he says, the name of God is peace. The name of God is peace. So God's very name is found between us when we are willing to genuinely listen to each other and share their insights. Melech shalom shalo, the king whose peace is his. Voseh shalom bimromav, and he makes peace above. Ukmochen haTorah shmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so in the same way, the Torah is the names of God. There's an old tradition, going back to Yosef Jigatilya, to the Ramban, that the Torah is on the one hand, of course, a text which communicates a kind of letter from God, perhaps even on Rabbi Akiva's understanding, a love letter from God. But in another understanding, it is the very names of God. It is, in this sense, one long name of God. And that means, in the sort of Jewish understanding of what a name is, and especially the name of God, that it is the very essence of God, it is the very presence of God. That when we read the Torah, we are not only reading a communication from God, not only studying a letter or even a love letter from God the Divine, but rather, in some sense, reading or touching or interacting with God's very self, God's very body. We are being, in that sense, God's lover. V'lechen al yedei Torah zochin l'shalom. And therefore, through the Torah, we merit peace. Because peace is the name of God, and the Torah is the names of God. And that so the Torah itself, when properly utilized and understood in this way which is discussed above, the way of both finding one's own insight and sharing that insight with others and receiving others' insights, then the Torah itself is peace, and we merit peace through it. V'chen katuv l'chulam b'shem yikra, l'fi sheshmo yibarach kolel kol tzava mala. And therefore it's written, he called them all by name, all the hosts of heaven he called by name. For the name of the Blessed One includes all the hosts of heaven. That is, in classic Midrashic style, connecting this term name in its various locations. The name of God is peace. The Torah is the name of God. The Torah is peace. The heavenly hosts are called by name. And therefore their name too is peace. Their name is Torah, and they are held together by the name. Not just by their own individual names, but rather B'shem Yikra, they are called in the name, in God's name. And God's name holds them all together in peace. L'chen mitchabrim al yedei Hashem. And therefore, they are joined together through the name of God. The name of God unifies them all. They all have this quality of name. K'mochein nefashot b'nei Yisrael mitchabrim al yedei Torah. And so too, in the same way, the souls of Israel are joined together through the Torah. Through this process of sharing what is individual, of what is particular to us, of hearing what is individual and particular to the other, of understanding it, and of, in that process, both of us gaining and neither losing, our souls are joined together. And I think this notion of the way in which both of us gain and neither lose is very important, because though we can recognize philosophically it is the case, the reality is that even in our learning, even in our intellectual endeavors, where it should be clear that having learned different things, having different opinions, in no way detracts from the other, still sometimes we treat things as a zero-sum game. We have an opinion, somebody else's opinion, and we have this feeling that we have to somehow erase or defeat their opinion for our opinion to stand, for our opinion to be true, for our opinion to be respected. It's a sort of adolescent notion of life, right? That if somebody else is different in some way, it somehow threatens us, and so we have to make sure that they're just the same. And we all experience that in adolescence. People dress the same, talk the same, make fun of other people because they're different, because somehow it isn't okay. And yet even in our adult lives, we have that same experience. We want people to somehow be like us. We don't want them to be too different. We want them to see what we have to say and not have an opinion that's too drastically removed from ours. Yet what the Sfat Emet is reminding us here is that genuine unity and connection with others, genuinely coming together, being part of one Am Yisrael, having our souls even connected on that deep level, happens precisely through our willingness to recognize the difference and particularity of the other. Through our willingness to see that they have something genuinely different to say, And I can learn from that difference. And in doing so, nobody has to lose, and everybody has something to gain. And so he continues, "Uvkumochen b'nidivat ha'mishkan shaya nase al yadei nidvat kol ish v'nidchabru al yadei mishkan liyot echad." And he said, so too, in the giving for the mishkan, for the sanctuary, in the generosity they showed for the sanctuary. What's interesting is about the giving, is that it was done on the basis of each person. Each person gave their individual donation. Right? And we see that. Some people gave whatever they happened to have in their house. And even then, they gave their particular objects, what they had in their house, what was precious and dear to them. Some people gave of their skill. They were skilled craftsmen. They were able to weave the walls of the sanctuary. They were designing the art. Or they were goldsmiths and able to form the gold into the altar. Whatever it was that they did, each person gave of their own particularity, their own particular skill, their own particular vision and understanding. And they were joined together through the sanctuary to be one. That is, through them each giving their individuality, they became unified. They became, in that sense, really a nation. And then they merited the dwelling of the Shekhinah. They merited divine inspiration. They merited the presence of God. It's quite a strong claim. It's precisely when we are unified through our particularity, through our individuality, that the Shekhinah is present. The Shekhinah is not present when we are divided from each other, the Sfatimet says. When we are each lost in our own corner, that's not the place of the Shekhinah. But the Shekhinah is also not present when we are unified in a false and totalitarian way, when everybody is forced to think and act and speak the same, and there's no room, no space for our particularity to shine through. Rather, the divine, of course, which is Elu ve'elu Elohim Chaim, which says that in two dramatically different opinions, both of them are the words of the living God. The divine, who is multiplicity and unity at the same time, which is the unity of the Torah, which has 70 faces. The divine which could hold both of those, perhaps, paradoxes together, is expressed and realized and experienced only when we do the same, when we hold both of those moments together by sharing our particularity and individuality, but giving it to the community, by hearing the particularity of each member of the community, and by each growing from that experience, whether in the work of the Mishkan, the work of the sanctuary, or in the work of Talmud Torah, or in our own individual work in our own lives. And he says, this unity needs to happen both in action and in speech and in thought. These are three classic levels of the human being and levels of human activity. And he says this unity has to happen on every level. It's not enough for it to be theoretical. It's not enough for it to just be practical. And it's not enough for it just to be in communication. Rather, in communication, in active action, and in thought, unity has to be present in each one. In the Mishkan and the Mikdash, in the sanctuary and in the temple, they were joined in action. In the actual actions, the shared rituals, the shared activities, the building together. And we all know that experience. We bring from ourselves, we build something together, and there is a tremendous experience of unity in that. Uvatorah b'dibur. And in Torah is the aspect of communication, of speech. When we communicate together, when we talk to each other, we experience this unity of communication, of us sharing together, of us understanding each other's insights. And here really, Dibor, especially in Hasidic language, we can also include what we would normally call thought, that is sort of discursive thought, thought that happens in language. Through Torah, we discuss, we understand, we gain insight, we share one with the other. And so there's a unity there of our thought, not that we think the same things, but that we are either enriched by each other's thought and understanding. Uvakarash Baruch Hu b'machshava. And in the divine in Machshava, and here Machshava, what we normally translate as thought in modern Hebrew, really needs to be translated in Hasidic language as something more like consciousness or awareness. That is, it is through our direct experience of divinity, again, each in our own particular way, that this unity of consciousness happens. That there is something shared between us, which is deeper than action, and which is deeper than thought or speech, but which is some kind of direct connection and acknowledgement of our shared humanity and our shared Jewishness, our shared membership in Am Yisrael and the nation of Israel. Kamo shekatuv, shivim nefesh b'lashon yachid. As it says about those who went down to Egypt, Jacob and his sons who went down to Egypt, it says they were shivim nefesh. They were 70 soul. Not 70 souls, not shivim nefashot. But it's the other, it says 70 soul. Why does it say 70? A multiple. And yet soul, b'lashon yachid, in the language of singular, individual language. Because it comes to teach us that they were 70 and yet they were one. And so too we have the experience of 70, of individuality, of particularity, and yet unity, much like the Shivim Panim, the Torah, the 70 faces of the Torah. Lefisha ovdim le'el echad, because they all served one God. There is this joint consciousness and kavanah towards a singular divinity. Zebichinat haratzon v'tshuka shebalev. And this is the aspect of the desire and the will of the heart. This desire of the heart, so it's shared desire for this unity, for this shared goal. Shepunim kulam elav yiparach shemo, that they all turn to him, the Blessed One, blessed in his name. Uvezeh nasein goyachad. And from this, they are made one nation. That is, what's underlying this all is this shared orientation. An orientation to the divine, to the center of our lives, to, in a certain sense, what is most important and fundamental. And I think we return here to the beginning of the drasha, that this is what is magical in the process of studying Torah, and studying the Torah, I would say, in the Pardes Beit Midrash, and in all the ways we do it, when we invite particularity and individuality in. What is magical is that, though we are separate in our understanding, perhaps, we are united in our orientation, in the orientation to learn, explore, grow, and connect with each other, with the divine, with our people, with Am Yisrael. And in doing so, in having that shared goal, that shared passion and desire, then there is a unity which underlies our individuality, which allows us to learn from and grow from the sharing that each one of us has to give to the other.
Thank you, Rabbi. And thank you for tuning in to Pardes from Jerusalem.